You are listening to the Fire Pit Podcast. Today we're discussing learning how to not follow the rules. All of my life, I have followed rules. My wife makes fun of me because I haven't made a left turn in like months. I just don't do it. Any type of risk, I just don't do it. If someone says stand in line here, I do it diligently. For hours. I may not even know what I'm standing in line for, but that's just my personality. And so this was interesting because when I reflected on things that I had become successful in, or even now as I'm going through endeavors in my life, following the rules, following what everybody else does to cookie cutter stuff, it just didn't work for me. I think a lot of people told me, go to Austin. It's a tech hub. And I thought at the time was, you know, not a dumb thought, but just kind of like I didn't know why anyone else wasn't thinking this. I've always kind of done my own thing. Being homeschooled, I learned to approach things differently. I've said this on the podcast before, like, I had a guy that I worked with that said, oh, wow, you were homeschooled. So you could take knowledge and learning to its ultimate conclusion. It wasn't capped at the end of a semester. And I was like, wow, that is an interesting thought and very true. So what I learned being homeschooled, and especially through high school, like teaching myself, you don't have to like go through the same methods or pathways that everyone's going through. In fact, I had the benefit of not knowing what those paths were. So for like going to Austin as a tech hub, I thought, well, everyone is graduating with engineering degrees and from UT. So the job market would probably be saturated. And when you have a high level of volume, those salaries, I'm sure, aren't going to be very high because you can pick from anybody and they're all kids. So they're cheap. So I thought it'd be better probably just to stay in a different city that like didn't have as much of my skill set, and that paid off. But that's just one example of like where if I would have followed the rules, I probably wouldn't have the career that I have at all. I probably wouldn't have been selected, period, because I just didn't have the experience or the pedigree for some of the things I was applying for.
Sure. That's interesting. You know, it's as you're talking, I'm thinking about this person that I knew back in quite a few years ago. But she was a salesperson for a communications company. She was new, and she ended up becoming salesman of the month just right out of the chute. Because nobody bothered to tell her that this particular month that she started was really a slow month. And so she went out gangbusters and outsold everybody because she was running on a different track. She wasn't following in line with the standard thinking. Had she done that, she would have been sitting in the break room with everybody else, not having made any kind of a quota because nobody expected to make a quota that month. It was just a slow month. You know, you go back to your school days because you were homeschooled, and you think about the number of times you followed a path miles down the road on a particular subject. Matter of fact, you went to the library, and I still remember you coming back and saying, you know, the librarian asked me, are you doing a research paper on this for school and all that? And you said, no, I'm just really interested in this subject. And so I'm sure she was dumbfounded by that, because it was not following the acceptable path of don't do any more than what you're told, because if, you know, the teachers tell you to do this, you do this, you don't go any further than that. And oh, by the way, make sure you raise your hand in class and ask, is this going to be covered on the test? You know, teachers love to hear that question. But for the love of learning, you really do have to get off the path sometimes. And it's true in education. It's true in your job. Do you always want to be a meets requirement type of employee, or do you want to show some pizzazz and go out and go the extra mile, not for the sake of impressing the boss or even getting a pay raise, just doing it for the love of doing a job well and beyond what's not just beyond what's expected for the sake of getting the pat on the back, but because for yourself. So anyway, that's my two cents.
No, that's funny that you say that. I taught myself programming. I started at 13. So when I got to college, I wouldn't get in trouble. I wouldn't say that. But I would be using certain shortcuts in programming that my professor would be like, no, we don't cover that yet. It's like, okay. So like, I felt very like, I loved it because I'd never, you know, the crazy part about college for me is I just thought it was like so cool that like somebody like developed a curriculum, like came and talked, and like I just had to like take notes. I was like, this is amazing. And everybody's like, what is your problem? And I'm like, oh, I came from teaching myself. Like I would read the curriculum, like I would read everything myself, grade everything myself. There wasn't someone talking to me. Like to me, this was like easy street. It was just like, I just have to listen and like take notes and like, this is awesome. But like having that experience really taught me to approach problem solving from like school of hard knocks or like having nothing. Right. Not having like, well, where are my tools? And it's like, there are no tools. So like from the get go, that's how I approach problem solving, which has done well for me. But the common path is like even I did an interview, which I always thought every interview I have, I think I bomb it like so bad. It's like all that self-doubt and like imposter syndrome. And they told me, hey, do you need this software suite to like solve these problems? I'm like, no, whatever, it's a lost cause. So I did all of it by hand, and they were just like, wow, how did you do this? Like, I didn't know there were limitations. And I think a lot of how I approach life, that's really helped me in not knowing what the limitations are that everybody else around me is aware of. Whereas there's something beautiful about not knowing where the limit is. Mm-hmm. Because then you may just blow right past it. But having those limitations that are placed on you through either school or other people or whatever, those limiting thoughts really, they plague on your creativity and like what you can actually accomplish. And it's almost better not knowing what the rules are, because you know, or not knowing where the path is, because you never really get lost, because you don't really know where the path is anyway.
You know, it's interesting. I was, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about how many people, as they're approaching some kind of a question or problem, and they're looking to see who's already fixed it, or like you say, the tools that are out there, the common paths towards this. If there are no common paths, if you're talking about a wilderness, a pioneer wilderness where nobody's ever been to before, that's not even an option here. We're looking for, I need to Google this to see who's got the answers to this already so that I don't have to go into the weeds here where nobody has been before and try to figure this out on my own using what I already know. So, and I think that's what we're talking about here is sometimes you have to be a rebel a bit. And it's not that you toss out commonly held wisdom and all that, because you do need to consider that. You need to consider what's already been done. There's no point in recreating the wheel. If something's already been created, just go for it, you know. And if you want to improve it, start from there. Start from what's already been created and then improve it from there. But so many times we talk about things where you're getting off the beaten path because nobody's been there before, like I say, pioneering. And then I would add one more element to it that we've talked about before, and that's your individual passion, something you're really excited about. We all do things that we have to do. We all fix problems at work that we have to because we've been tasked with it. And that's all well and good. But you get kind of dry after a while if you're always doing something that doesn't really connect you with the things that you love doing. So I'm just saying that as an aside. I don't really necessarily want to pursue that right now because we've talked before about passion and all that. But when you talk about doing something that you kind of go above the ceiling, you go beyond what everyone else is to do it. Let me ask you this, because this brings to mind something. I remember you talked about an interview that you had for a job, and you were tasked with a particular problem, and it had to do with pipelines, and it had to do with pinpointing them with, I don't know, GPS or ArcMap or whatever it was, the software program that you used to figure it out. And you came up with this thing where they I think it was at a company locally here where they were kind of baffled at how did you come up with this? Because you were using like the arc of the, it was someplace over in Britain or Scotland or something like that. And you took into account the arc of the earth in order to come up with the calculations. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah. Well, no, and that's the story that I was telling. It's like a, you have things that I wasn't aware of. You have what's called a distance calculation, point A to point B, obvious. Then you have what's called a geodetic calculation, which accounts for curvature of the Earth, which actually comes into play after, I think, 8 miles. After 8 miles, you'll notice that the distance is not a straight line, and then the arc of the Earth actually starts to affect the distance calculation. So if you look straight down on 32 square miles, that geodetic calculation from point A to point B is actually affected by the curvature of the Earth or the terrain itself, if you want to get into the nitty gritty. But like, I had to research all that to determine that, yeah, these pipelines were running over land, but that land was in excess of 8 miles. So then your calculations, I was noticing, were like, after doing that research and understanding, like, oh, geodetic calculations, I didn't like just every little teeny little thing when you're applying it to a real world example. And I think that's where learning all those things on my own really helped me, because I approached it from no tools. I didn't approach it from like, well, everything's going to work out in the equation. I assumed that I didn't know anything. And so I did so I accounted for geodetic calculations. I accounted for like how you would pinpoint on a moving target with another thing that's stationary, how to like use polar coordinates to swing around to like check if you haven't already checked something already before. Because if the pipe goes over itself, if it does like a U-turn and you calculated and you pinged like two spots that it was within 660 feet of, well, mm-hmm. when it doubles on itself, if you keep that running calculation, you may pick those points up again. So you have to account for, well, which ones have I already done? Because you don't really know where the pipeline's going. It's not going in a straight line, by the way, which was fun. It did all kinds mm-hmm. of things. But coming from a place of not knowing any of the limitations or the rules, or everybody else thought I was crazy because they were like, you should have taken the software suite because it would have accounted for geodetic calculations, and you could have just run a tool and it would have done these calculations for you within 30 seconds, but you wrote it all yourself. I even wrote the graphical user interface for it using Google Maps. Like, I used real latitude and longitudes, which I found Google reverses them in the mapper. Which that was fun, because that's the Scotland thing, right? I was charting things and I was like, wait a minute, why am I over here? This is, I flipped the lat longs. I don't know why. It was probably my mistake, but like when I flipped them back, then I was like, oh, okay, we're in Texas now. So, but yeah, just little things like that that you're, but it's just more of this in the spirit of like learning and play and things that I think we really get away from in our adult life. Of, you know, doing something because it's fun, or because, like I said, those rules that we learn to follow, if you want to make money, you have to go to school, you have to try hard, you have to follow the rules. And it's like, I don't think anybody that's made an impact in history just followed the rules.
No, they couldn't, because how do you break new ground if you're continuing to follow the rules? That's like I say, when so many people are looking for a resolution, they're looking to Google. They're looking to YouTube. they're looking to, in the old days, it was the encyclopedias, or they're somebody, something outside of themselves for that answer, but there's no thought towards, well, what if nobody knows the answer to this? And does that mean there is no answer to it? Far be it from me to have the tools within myself to be able to come up with the answer. Really? That's interesting. One of the questions I had going back to this little test you had for this company, had you used the software suite, would the software suite have been as close? Because I think when they looked at the results from what you shared with them, that you were within a very, very close proximity of the points that you were supposed to be at.
It wasn't necessarily proximity. It would have done the same calculations, but the things that I missed, it was like out of 950 things that you had to detect, I missed like three. And the ones that I missed, they were like, yeah, those were definitely hard ones to miss. But just doing it yourself, I learned so much. I had so much more respect for the software suite and all the stuff that goes into that, all the engineering that goes into doing those things that you take for granted as just clicking, go and it does it. But I think also on the flip side, I've had to learn in life to balance that. I think in the beginning of my life, I was very much an idealist. I was a purist of ideas. And then, it didn't really matter about application of things. It's just that I knew them and that would get me through life. And I learned later that you can't just be different just to be different, or you're so scared that you're not going to be the most unique person in the room. And then I realized later there's comfort in knowing that other people have been there too, and other people have struggled. And a savant, a genius is very, I would imagine, it's a very lonely place, like a musical savant, like someone that can just play by ear. The person that's worked piano and is a concert pianist, they've worked their whole life. Like that's everything to them. Whereas you take the person that just sits down and they can do whatever, it doesn't mean that much to them. So I think there was a lot to that in my understanding of there's times when you should follow the rules. Learning which one to pick, I think, was crucial in my career and in my personal life of because in the beginning, I didn't want to follow any rules because it doesn't apply to me because I'm God's gift to the earth, until life hits you in the face and you realize, I was begging for a job that I was way overqualified, in my opinion. And in retrospect, I totally was. But just getting to the point where I was just like, look, I'll do whatever. Like my ego doesn't matter. Like learning to just check your ego and throw it out the window, and just exercising that as I like in my job now, of like, it's so freeing because I go up against guys that they're like very, very, very smart. And me coming in, and it's funny when I'll fix the problem, when they're like, well, what did you do? I thought about this forever. And like, I don't have any experience and it's not according to these calculations and this types of theorems. And I'm like, well, you just keep trying and then you figure it out. And like to them, that's such an archaic, like I'm using like a hammer and they're like a neurosurgeon. That's how it looks. But I'm like, guys, like it doesn't have to be that hard and complicated. Like just start basic, like you taught me. Is it plugged in? Is it on? That seems very dumb.
Yeah.
It's totally, and I still use that to this day, mind you, doing stuff. I'm like, did you connect it? Mm-hmm. No. That's the problem.
Yeah, that was and I learned that from top guns when I worked for IBM. Those are the guys that they called in the middle of the night because nobody else could fix the problem. And this guy, he just had a very simple, basic format that he used in problem determination. He never skipped over the most obvious, the most, is it plugged in? And then he went down to the bottom. Because the problem with some people, and even people who are incredibly intelligent or, you know, geniuses, they don't necessarily have the patience, because sometimes even they will fall prey to, well, I've seen this problem before. I know what the result, the resolution is for it. So let's just go to that. And there may be something else. But that requires patience. The person that things come too easily to, he doesn't learn patience very well. Matter of fact, you were talking about being a lonely world for savants and geniuses. Yeah, it is. But it's also an irritating world, because they get irritated with people who don't see things the way they do. So they don't have a very peaceful existence at times, along with the fact that that quality of patience that you learn by just sticking with something is really, there's only one way to learn it, and that's to stick it out and struggle through it. Eventually you learn something from it. And then the thing that I think you've mentioned, in the end, you have an increased sense of value for what you've come to in the end of all the process. And that's really important. If you don't have a sense of value in what you've accomplished, then it doesn't mean a lot to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my first job, I was a janitor, and it was great. I liked it because I worked by myself, but there's a lot to, it's funny running into people later in life, and we'll talk about our first jobs, and like, oh, I worked at Chick-fil-A, or I was a janitor. Like, wow. Like, but it's like, it gives you respect for the people that clean stuff. Like, I don't go and knowingly like mess things up, because I know how hard it is. And just like giving you that perspective of, and I should have learned it at the time, but then later on in life, when I was, you know, God's gift to the earth, I was saying something like, oh, I'm never going to do this level of job. And you said something to the effect of like, hey, man, hey, you're blessed with talents. For some people, this is all they can actually do. And they're really trying. Like, this is very hard for them. And it just comes easy to you. Like, don't take that for granted. Like, that's a gift that you're given. It's not something that you should hold over someone else. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of took that to heart. And after meeting some people that, you know, this is at the limit of their capacity, I just kind of like it gave me pause just to be more grateful about things that I'm blessed to be talented in. There's other people that are talented in different ways, but it just kind of made me, you know, check myself on those things. And like I said, checking the ego at the door, learning when not to follow the rules, just kind of being more open and not so impatient. It is a lot easier. Sure. I have less stress than I did when I demanded the world bend to my will. And yeah, just realizing like that's never what I learned is like that's never going to happen ever. You will just have an eternal life of frustration if you just continually to push like that.
You know, and I have yet to meet anyone who's good at everything. God was gracious enough to gift us with different things, but then we also have this deficit in our lives that can only be filled by somebody else. And a great example of that is in marriage, where you marry somebody who, you better learn quickly that they're bringing something to the table that you desperately need, and as well as they are in need of what you bring to the table. But nobody has
it all. But you don't see that. Would you agree with this statement? I agree with you 100%. But I also think that you don't really get it, or you don't really see that fact for years. You just think we love each other. And then they're like, they keep telling me this one thing, and it's really annoying. And then you realize like, oh, they're pointing this out in me, that it's a problem.
Yep. That's interesting. Well, I think that's all I had.
That was it.
So, yeah, this is good. Getting off the beaten path, I think, is is really kind of important. I think you said, maybe I heard you correctly early on when we were talking now, that there are some things that happen that you just take you by surprise. But I'm going to leave that for another time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I think it was good. I mean, in conclusion, I think for me, it was a balance of like, when do you, it's a little deceiving, the title of like, don't follow the rules ever, but like, yes, do follow the rules. Don't make it hard on yourself, like I did earlier in life. Mm. And then just learning to like, keep it open, keep it light. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yep.
And we did it again. We're consistent twice.
Wow.
Amazing.
This is great. Okay. We'll see you later, buddy.
All right. Bye.